Welcome back. We are live streaming RadioMonterey.com, also through TuneIn, an application where you can just search for Radio Monterey and get us live. I'm your host, Cynthia Fernandez. This is Simple Life Radio, and we are talking in our third segment about garden. Well, now it's time for the garden. Gardens have been a source of beauty, relaxation, and inspiration for many. Oscar de la Renta said, "Gardening is how I relax. It's another form of creating and playing with color." Francis Bacon said, "God Almighty first planted a garden, and indeed, it is the purest of human pleasures." Well, here in the central coast of California, we enjoy mild weather. Succulents do great here. I have visitors who come into the secret garden and say that where they live, of course, with much colder climates, succulents are considered to be a perennial rather than consistently live all year round. And it is true, succulents do great here. They get very large as a result of that. And they flower. They don't take a lot of water. They're drought tolerant. And so they are a favorite in Carmel. Certainly we have a lot for sale in the secret garden. But I do want to tell you, if we do have any listeners from other places beyond the Central Coast, succulents do well when people take them indoors during their tough temperatures, either too hot or too cold. More than likely, the freezing temperatures really do them in. And if you take them in during those more extreme temperatures, then they will last you. They still don't look quite as robust as they do here on the Central Coast, but nonetheless, they will survive. And I've packaged up a lot of succulents for people traveling on the airplane. It's so great to take a little piece of Carmel back with you, wherever it is that you're going. And there's so many small, beautifully done potted gardens with a variety of succulents put together in a little garden. That is a wonderful thing to take back with you. So keep that in mind. Again, Pilgrim's Way, located in downtown Carmel on the Central Coast, located on Dolores between 5th and 6th. If you want to give us a call, our number is 831-624-4955, and we'd be happy to hear from you. Now, there is a book that I often recommend to people who are interested in or already have succulent gardens. The title of the book is Crazy About Cacti and Succulents. It is a title that we carry at Pilgrim's Way. It's a $9.95 paperback, not a big investment, and it covers all regions. So you don't have to worry about, well, is it the Western Coast, Zone 9 in, you know, Sunset Garden Guide? Nope, it covers all regions. So in the book, there are hardy plants for cold climates listed separately. There's also medicinal varieties to grow at home. They have a listing of secrets for successful propagation, one of my favorites, and how to create beautiful succulent bonsai. Those are really cool. So again, we'd be happy to send that book to you. We do mailings all the time. That number to call, 831-624-4955, just to set up getting that copy to you. We'll drop it in the mail. If you'd prefer to give us an email, please send your email to simplelife@pilgrimsway.com. Now I want to tell you what we did at home this year in our garden. We thought it would be great to get more involved in our food. I played a clip earlier and spoke about, you know, some of the risks out there. It's really difficult to know the quality of food, especially if you eat out at all. But even if you don't, we don't have GMO labeling. You don't know if you're eating Frankenfood. It's really, really difficult to know. So we thought, okay, it's time to step up and start getting more involved in our food. So we've added a number of garden beds for vegetables. And Paul, my husband, discovered a really useful tip about making garden beds for yourself. Lumberyard has both, they have a couple of different options for people. First of all, you want to start with redwood because it holds up the best in weather. It's going to last you the longest. You're going to put a lot of effort into making a garden bed. You don't want it to fall apart in the first year to two. So you want to start with redwood. Now, the tip is that you can use redwood fence boards. And what you do is fence boards come in 1 inch wide, 12 feet long. And then you just cut one of those fence boards into two. And it's about half the cost compared to buying redwood pieces already 6 feet long. So we did most of ours as raised beds, and that makes it a little easier on the back. And the other advantage to raised beds for your garden is that they have less pests. So the design that we came up with was to make a 6-foot by 3-foot size garden bed. And that was just a really easy way to work with those 1x12s. Made it really, really easy. You just put in a couple of cuts and you've got what you need. So the beds that we left on the ground for those larger tomato plants that end up getting 10 feet tall, we tacked a wire on the bottom of them, the part that actually sits on the ground to keep the gophers out. And the ones that we wanted to use as a raised bed, we used 3 6-foot boards on the bottom, and then we used 3 2x4s to cross those, kind of hold them in place. That way we didn't have to use nails or screws or anything, and just use gravity. And we set that on cinder blocks turned on their side. So they're sort of the table legs, if you will. And it ends up standing about waist high, which is really nifty because then you don't have to bend over. And actually, you know, truth be told, you can use a lot of different kinds of containers for your garden vegetables or your flowers. Sometimes the more funky, the better. Have fun with it, whatever, you know, old watering can. I mean, I've seen colanders used. I've seen old boots used. I love it when I see blue jeans used. Just fill whatever it is with dirt, of course, and plant away. A lot of people use these more funky designs for containers as an artistic statement in their front yard. Depending on where you live, may take on a different response. But all you really need is to make sure that you have good drainage and you have good soil, you have the appropriate amount of sun, and whatever you're growing just grows. So this year, rather than buying starts, I decided to start my own from seed. So I started, I've already harvested zucchini, believe it or not, out of the garden. That was one of the items that we started from seed, and it takes a short period of time to sprout, and then just graduating from one sized container to the next. And now one of those large beds that I described earlier is almost exclusively zucchini. There was a potato that found its way in there, and then I saved a corner of it for cilantro because I love to have fresh herbs. But this whole garden bed is just the right size for those zucchini plants to take it over and start performing. I also have cucumbers and tomatoes. We have had some mild weather. I haven't really harvested any cucumbers or tomatoes. I would say the cucumbers are probably about a week to 10 days away from harvesting. The tomatoes are in bloom, so they're probably another month. Perhaps this time next month we'll be harvesting some tomatoes, unless I can get to those green tomatoes first. Love those green fried tomatoes. Having a spice garden is really, really easy. You can either have a spice garden indoors, like a windowsill. A lot of times kitchens will have a window box which is excellent because, of course, you have lots of light and warmth for the spices. But even if it's outdoors, they can be in containers really easily, which means they could be on a balcony, they could be on a porch, a window box outside the window. It would be ideal outside the kitchen window. So you just open up the window and snip away exactly what you need and take it to use. I've had fresh herbs for many, many years now, and I prefer it. I want to let people know that when you buy organic green onions, let's say, or sometimes they're called spring onions, when you buy those and you use them, leave a little bit of the white connected to the roots. Okay, all green onions in the store have roots on them. It's always best to buy organic for many reasons. One is it protects our Mother Earth from chemicals and pesticides. But leave a little bit of the white on the roots and just stick it in the ground an inch or two. It doesn't have to be a whole lot. I've experimented. Even if you just leave the top of the cutoff part of the white showing, in just a few weeks, maybe 2 or 3 weeks, you're going to have the whole plant regrows and you're going to have fresh green onions whenever you want them. When I need some green onion, I just go out with my scissors, I snip what I will use, and I don't pull up the whole onion, and that way it continues to regrow. And the same is true for, you can get that organic lettuce that comes with the root still on it. Well, just take the top off, make your beautiful salad, and use the roots to grow again. Same thing is true with potatoes. I'm trying it now with sweet potatoes because that's a great source of vitamin B. It's got lots of vitamins and minerals in it. Lots of people are talking about the wonders of sweet potatoes. So I'm trying it with sweet potatoes, but I've been harvesting potatoes for a while now, and I consider it recycling. Why not? You paid for it. After all, the more independent we become, the less burden we are to others, and the more we can enjoy the simple life. Now, I want to share with you with regard to communities and gardens, I want to share with you some good news. This comes a little earlier this year, actually March 5th, 2014, and it is reported from the city of Eugene, Oregon. Eugene, Oregon became the first community in the nation to specifically ban the city property from being used with neonicotinoid pesticides. And yes, nicotine is in that word. They use a nicotine-based pesticide to keep bugs off. It's lethal to humans, actually, in certain high doses, but they use it for a pesticide, and it's been scientifically linked to the decline of honeybee colonies. And so Eugene pulled their people together, and they got this passed. This is our second precedent-setting report to you here today. But the resolution notes that children and infants may be especially sensitive to the health risks posed by pesticides for several reasons. Their internal organs are still developing and maturing. Secondly, in relation to their body weight, infants and children eat and drink more than adults, possibly increasing their exposure to pesticides in food or in water, even formula. Of course, those are typically water-based. And thirdly, certain behaviors like playing on floors or lawns, putting objects in their mouths, increase the child's exposure to pesticides used in homes and yards. So the neonicotinoids, the resolution refers to recent research suggesting a possible link between pesticides that contain those neonicotinoids and the die-off of plant pollinators, including honeybees, native bees, butterflies, moths, and other insects. 1 week before the new resolution was passed in Eugene, Oregon, requiring anyone applying for a pesticide license, I'm glad to hear there's licenses for such lethal elements, they are required to take a course on pollinators and pesticides and pass the exam. So this brings up a really good point. You know, I think it's important that we definitely be aware, and as I said at the beginning of this show, stay objective about the information that we're learning. It's really easy to start to point fingers and blame, make people all good or all bad. And honestly, in reality, it just isn't like that. And when we go to an extreme polarization, we lose our own ability to connect with creative solutions. When you make someone, you know, a bad guy in total, then it's really hard to work together with that person. Certainly hard for them as well. And it's important to stay aware of the facts of the matter so that we can incorporate the proper solution for the situation. And I just have to hand it to these folks in Eugene, Oregon, for not only banning something that is detrimental to our pollinators, but also implementing an educational course required to use the pesticide in whatever application is lawful there. I think education is the basis of the solution that we all want to get to. So let me see if there's something else that I can... Yes, there is something else here that I can share with you. Several bee kill incidents occurred in Oregon last summer. I guess that was the impetus for this seriousness, including one that killed more than... One incident killed more than 50,000 bumblebees. And that happened after a licensed pesticide applicator sprayed blooming trees. It was actually a violation of the pesticide label. But nonetheless, 50,000 bumblebees gone. In California, beekeepers and local advocates are supporting a bill that would force the state of California to complete its evaluation of neonicotinoid pesticides years ahead of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, and their review, which is not scheduled to be completed before 2018. That's 4 years away. So, you know, this again is testimony. We don't have to wait to be told that we have to implement these kinds of common sense regulations. We can take it upon ourselves to do the right thing in the right time and help everyone out. Also want to mention that in Maryland, a bill containing language to restrict neonicotinoid pesticides was unfortunately recently withdrawn after an unfavorable report from the Environmental Committee. And in New York and New Jersey, language has been drafted in the state to restrict neonicotinoids in various ways. So a number of different states are working on this. Again, really gotta hand it to Oregon for getting there first. If you want more information about this subject, earthjustice.com is where you want to go. A great resource of information. You'll find out what politicians are doing and who they are. You can always send a letter to your local politician to let them know how you feel about it. So where are we? Ah, yes, cooking. Well, we can't go to the garden without some kind of cooking. So speaking of self-reliant, one of my new favorite things to do is to make my own cream cheese and seed crackers. Now, first I'm going to tell you about the cream cheese. And just a heads up, I'm going to mention this later, but this came to me from a book that we just got in the bookstore titled I Quit Sugar, and the author is Sarah Wilson. She's a journalist, a TV host, and blogger, and she's a qualified health coach with the Institute of Integrative Nutrition in New York. So this is how difficult it is. First, you get organic whole milk plain yogurt. Got it? You can get that at Cornucopia locally. You can get it at Whole Foods. There's a number of places you can get organic whole milk plain, very important, yogurt. Get yourself some cheesecloth or an old diaper. I think I have one of Carla's old diapers, my daughter's old diaper from 36 years ago. Pour that yogurt container into the cheesecloth. I then string it up, you know, tie it closed, String it up over a bowl that catches the whey. The whey meaning the, it's W-H-E-Y, which is the culture in the yogurt. And the bowl that catches the whey just drips a little. So hang it up over that bowl. And you can take that down and it's ready to use cream cheese in 12 to 24 hours. So you hang it up at night. In the morning, you have cream cheese with breakfast. Not only that, but it's cultured, which is much, much better for your digestion. Now, what goes better with cream cheese than a cracker? Well, my new favorite thing is these seed crackers. And nowadays, there's lots of reasons that people are cutting down on their gluten intake, right? Many people have sensitivities to gluten, including folks with digestive disorders, Lyme's disease, even folks with general symptoms like bloating or heartburn. They might have stiffness in their joints due to inflammation that is linked to gluten. So these crackers are gluten-free. Not only that, they're packed with vegan protein, vitamins, and minerals. Okay, so get your pencil ready because I'm going to give you this recipe before we run out of time. Actually, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to post this with the podcast when I put that up later today. So again, my hat goes off to Sarah Wilson, author of I Quit Sugar. It is a $25 paperback, well worth it, a wealth of information. Give us a call. We can take care of getting that book to you. And our number is area code 831-624-4955. Or you can drop us an email at simplelife@pilgrimsway.com. So events, we had a great author today, Harvey Kraft, author of Buddha in Babylon. He has uncovered some new information about Buddha and the all of the wonderful history of Buddha. Come by and get a copy from us that is signed. We had him sign some before we left. And tomorrow morning, we are hosting our monthly Monterey Bay Tracking Club. And we start at 8 a.m. Fort Ord Market is where we meet. We're going to be going from about 8 to 10. It's a free event. It's a lot of fun. You get outdoors. Thanks so much for tuning in today. As always, I'll be with you next Saturday. Keep it simple.